Hey everybody, welcome to a very special bonus episode of the podcast. So I am starting, this is one of these unedited, no sponsors, just popping up as I speak kind of episodes, talking about a combination of two things. One, my new BKF online program, which is formerly my top 50 program, but also I'm going to talk about some tips, techniques and tools from that program that you can use to get in shape for the summer. So similar, I did a podcast like this a while back for the Rewire Your Mindset seminar, which seemed to go down very, very well with people. So I wanted to do something similar with this one for two reasons. One, for the people that want to work in that BKF online program, you can see if it's the kind of thing that you want to do. And two, for those of you who it's not for, you might get some tips and tricks that you can utilize or use straight away that'll help you get in amazing shape for the summer. The BKF online program, for those of you who follow me a while, is formerly my top 50 program. So where I work over a 6-week period with 50 people in a Facebook group on their body composition to help them get in shape. So in the BKF online program, there's different variations of the program. There's a beginner version, an intermediate version, and an advanced version, and the same with the nutritional strategy. So there's a nutritional strategy based on fat loss, one based on building lean muscle tissue and fat loss, so i.e. toning up, and there's another one for bulking up and building muscle. And then what I do is over the 6-week period, I tailor the training program and nutritional plan with people based on their needs and lifestyle and schedule. So everything is calculated in there, all the calories, all the macros, all the recipes, everything is there, and it's all downloadable onto your phone. And then everything to go alongside that, such as complementary supplements for building muscle, losing body fat, improving health, improving sleep, is all in that program. So it's a very specific way for me working with people. If you've seen any of the before and afters on my social media, it's from that BKF online program, formerly top 50. I've just updated it with a new training program and a new nutritional plan and extra recipes. So it's a brand new program now. So really looking forward to the people who've already signed up and working with them from the 6th of May. I'll actually put the link in the description of this episode, and you can click on through and I'll put all the details and you can see if it's what you're looking for. And then generally the link closes at 50 people just because of how the program works, because that tends to be the most sustainable way for working with people and getting them from A to B or A to Z. So if it's something you're looking for and you want to work directly with me, this is my only program that I work directly with people in body composition. So my GEA Lean Body program is the other program, which is actually currently closed. And then my BKF online program, i.e. top 50 program, is open now and will probably be open again in September, October time. I only run this program 2-3 times a year because of just schedule, and this is the time when I'm able to commit fully to getting people in shape over the summer period. So that's everything on the program. But when it comes to getting in shape for the summer, there's a couple of things to look out for, and I haven't covered this directly on the podcast because a lot of the solo episodes I've been doing recently have been mindset based. So things like 8 critical habits for building mental toughness, dealing with mental health, things along these lines have all been very mindset based. And so many interviews with great people. I've been very fortunate with guests over the last few months. And that's been the main focus of the podcast. So I haven't done too much body composition stuff apart from in those Q&As, either the question of the day, short form ones, or the ones that are long form solo Q&As. So if getting in shape for your summer, if you're getting in shape for your summer, I think everyone's summer is the same summer. If getting in shape for the summer is your main goal at the minute, I'm going to talk on a couple of tools, techniques, and tips that you can apply, and some pitfalls maybe to look out for just over the coming months. So when I think of getting in shape for summer, I always think of kind of a 3-pronged approach. So nutrition, training, and sleep, and then supplements add into that, and then getting your mindset right is another kind of pillar to that post that can potentially help you get in shape and sustain it long term. The biggest mistake or issue you could face right now is going for a quick fix approach to try and get in shape for the summer. And a quick fix approach shows up in a lot of different ways. So most primarily in my mind, or the one that comes to mind first, is obviously the generic bar and shake diet, where you have a massively calorie restricted diet and you just consume bars and shakes for a 6-week period and you get into shape and lose weight, and then, you know, you rebound back worse than when you started. But for people listening to this podcast, that's generally not where 80%, 90% of people fall down. It's the other silver bullets that tend to hit people, the ones that I fell for myself. Some of my audience and some of you listening will have been on those bar and shake diets, but you're probably in the 20%, because if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you have heard me talk about the negative effects that can have on your body, on your physiology, and why you rebound worse back after you go back consuming real food, having gone off the back of a bar or shake diet. One to look out for, and there's actually two that jump straight to mind, is one is an overly calorie restricted diet where you're not eating a lot of food and you cut your calories too drastically. Even though it's still real food, you cut your calories too drastically. And the other then is over-the-counter fat burners, which are very, very tempting this time of year because they do work. They 100% will get you to lower body fat faster because they'll reduce your appetite, they'll give you more energy, kind of fake energy because it's mostly stimulant based, but they will work. But you'll tend to rebound back similarly to people who've been on a bar or shake diet, just because of some down regulations of certain hormones that you need to keep your hunger and satiation regulation in place, i.e. your body knows when it's hungry and knows when it's full, and that can get disrupted from very heavily calorie restricted diets, from the use of fat burners, or from the use of bar shake diets. So that's something to be kind of keep an eye out for. By all means, if you want to use an over-the-counter fat burner, they will work. And for some people, when you're prepping for a show or a photo shoot or a wedding or event that you want to look particularly good for, I actually don't have a problem people using them, but just being aware that it's not going to be sustainable. The fake energy you get from the stimulants isn't going to last, and you're probably going to have a little bit of a rebound effect when you come off those stimulants, i.e. you will crave more food and carbohydrates and sugary foods to get an energy spike because you're no longer getting them from the stimulants. You'll also probably have an increase in appetite, because a lot of over-the-counter fat burners tend to have appetite suppressing ingredients, which means you won't be hungry while you're consuming it, but can rebound back quite badly once you stop taking that fat burner. If you're aware of that beforehand and you know that you're going to have a little bit of a negative rebound when you come off, by all means, it's up to you on whether you make a conscious choice to use them or not then. And the same with the calorie-restricted diet. Going too severe and too calorie-restricted in too short of a period of time. So what a lot of people do is they'll drastically cut calories in order to get in shape for the summer, or get in shape for an event, or get in shape for a festival that's coming up. And short-term extreme calorie restriction can be fine. It's just if you're doing it over a six-week period where you're normally your maintenance calories, which let's just say for argument's sake is 2,000 calories, and you need to eat 2,000 calories to stay around the same body shape, around the same body weight, and that's your maintenance calories, and you drastically cut that to 1,000 calories. One, that restriction is probably going to be too low, in the sense that you'll get a reduction in body fat and weight probably over the first week or two, but your body will plateau. It gets used to it. Your metabolism is very, very effective at adapting quickly to any sudden change that you make. It's a survival mechanism. Remember, your body's designed to keep you alive. It's not designed to make you lean. It's not designed to make you muscular. Your body's number one job is to keep you alive. So if you go from 2,000 calories down to 1,000 calories, you'll get a sudden drop as you acclimatize, or as your body acclimates. And then once your body's like, okay, this is our new range, we normally get 1,000 calories, we'll make do on this, you normally get one of two things happening. You get a plateau, like a fat loss plateau, where you're no longer responding and you have to do the same drastic cut, another 200 calories, another 500 calories, which puts you into like dangerous levels of low calories over a consistent or continuous period of time. And then you have nowhere to go. You literally have gone too drastic with your cut and it leaves you nowhere to go. This is one of the biggest mistakes I see with people when they fat loss plateau, is they didn't gradually decrease their calories, or my personal preference, where they keep calories as high as possible and get your deficit either from a slight deficit from calories from food you're eating, or a deficit from training, or the combination of both. The most sustainable way to get in shape for the summer and sustain that level of body fat or muscle tone or whatever it is that you're trying to achieve is to keep your calories as high as possible, but get your deficit from that nutritional strategy you're following at the minute, or from your training. So for example, if we're sticking with that 2,000 calorie maintenance, you will get into a deficit by eating 1,900 calories, or you'll get into a deficit by eating 1,800 calories. You're also in a deficit by when you go down to 1,000 calories, but if you go any lower than that, you're not going to be able to sustain it. So the key and secret for body composition in general, particularly if you're trying to maintain muscle, which is crucial for both genders, because if you're trying to, the more lean muscle tissue you have, the higher your metabolic rate will be. So you'll burn more calories. And what happens if you go too calorie restricted, and you've seen this, or it may have happened to you, where people go skinny fat, where they're skinny, but they've got a tummy and they've got a belly. There can be insulin issues with that in terms of insulin resistance. But a lot of people, it's from going on a massively calorie restricted diet as well, and not having the energy levels to maintain a weight training program or maintain a good training program to keep lean muscle tissue and keep their metabolic rate high. Which again, depending on the food you're eating, if you have an issue with insulin, you're going to get this belly even though you're skinny everywhere else. So there's a lot of different factors that can come into play there. And everything that you're doing, if you're not happy with your body composition and the way that you look, it's normally a sign that you're doing something that's not conducive with where you want to be. So if that might be your eating protocol, that might be your nutritional strategy in general, that could be your training program that's not in alignment with your goals, or you're using supplements to either put them as a band-aid over a problem with diet, i.e. over-the-counter fat burners, even though you don't fix your nutrition. Like I've seen people come in, I used to work in the vitamin shop, I used to work in a supplement store years ago, and people would come in and they'd look for fat burners, and I'd ask them about their diet, and they're like, oh, I just came from McDonald's. I'm like, you can't take a fucking fat burner and eat McDonald's three times a day. It just doesn't work that way. It's plastering over, it's band-aid over a cut, where, yeah, if you add in the right supplements after you get your nutrition and training dialed in, they will definitely help you. But they're not a savior. They're not a silver bullet. They don't work in isolation by themselves, unless you get the really strong appetite suppressants where you don't eat any food, and then you lose weight and body fat, but you tend to deal with the repercussions out the other side as your body tends to rebound against that, or rebel against that, and then you rebound out worse than when you started, i.e. you started at 50 kilos, you go down to 45 kilos, and then you go back eating real food, and now you're back up at 52 kilos, 53 kilos, so you're actually weight and your body fat is higher than when you started because of that down regulation of, say, ghrelin, leptin, those hunger hormone satiations, or those hunger satiation hormones that tell your body you're hungry and full. When they get down regulated, it's a free for all because you're eating and you never get full, and you're constantly hungry. This happens off the back of a lot of bodybuilding competitors, bikini girls at the back end of shows. It happened to me a little bit when I came back from the Arctic because of the massive amount of calorie, not calorie restriction, but the amount of calorie burning I was doing in the Arctic because of the cold. So when I got back from the Arctic, I was eating 5,000 calories a day, but I was burning 10,000. So I was in a 5,000 calorie deficit nearly every day. And when I got back, I could not get full for about 10 days. I just kept eating and eating and eating and eating. And that's very, very similar to what happens after bodybuilding shows when I used to compete. It's down regulation of ghrelin and leptin. They're just all over the place because your body goes into what's called starvation mode. So that can happen when you're in the Arctic, or it can happen when you just decide to not eat that much food or take a stimulant or fat burning supplement that puts your appetite massively suppressed. So that's something to keep an eye out for. When it comes to your nutrition, you don't need to overcomplicate it. I have personal preferences. For me, I like to keep whole foods as much as possible. I have very little processed foods in my BKF online program, purely for the reason of nutrient density. I am like, you can get foods that are nutrient dense and foods that are energy dense. So nutrient dense foods are, you know, vegetables. They have loads of nutrients, vitamins and minerals that your body needs to give you energy. And then you've got energy dense foods, which is like sugary, crappy processed foods. The calories are very high, but the nutrients are quite low. And you can definitely lose body fat and get in great shape eating processed foods, eating microwave foods, eating loads of protein bars, and eating, you know, eating protein bars and supplements as your main protein sources. You can definitely get in shape doing that. But it's not my personal preference. I prefer to have like an 80-20 approach where 80% of your nutrition is whole, real food. And then there's 20% where you can kind of play around with different things that you like, you know, adding in protein bars if that's the foods you enjoy, in kind of a flexible dieting approach. One of the flexible diet, one of the nutritional protocols in that program is a flexible dieting approach, a flexi weekend where it's quite strict on a Monday to Friday, and then it's a very flexible weekend, all conducive to losing body fat by keeping your calories low and then banking them for the weekend, where you cycle your calories and carbohydrates up with free meals, etc., with that flexible dieting approach. That's that something that tends to work quite well for a lot of people. And again, in that particular program, I tailor it with people over the 6 weeks. It's why I use the Facebook group and Q&As within that group to tailor it with people. So even though at the beginning you might be on a similar program to somebody else or a similar nutritional plan to somebody else, by the end of the 6 weeks, they may look completely different based on your lifestyle, schedule, and preferences. So that nutrition, as I said, you don't need to overcomplicate it. The main concerns coming into summer is that you go too low on calories and you massively restrict trying to get ready for something, or you get a over-the-counter fat burner, or you might go on a bar shake diet again, which is just overly calorie restricted. And they both work on very similar principles. Don't overcomplicate it. As I said, there's lots of different ways to get in shape. I have a personal preference towards whole food to keep your body and energy levels high. You know, if you've read my book, The Fitness Mindset, in the nutrition section, it's eat for energy, where the reason when you're eating nutrient-dense foods, you keep your energy levels high, it normally means your workouts don't suffer and also your lifestyle doesn't suffer. Because what can happen with highly processed foods or being in a calorie deficit but not eating really good nutrient-dense foods is your mood drops. And if your mood drops, some people, myself included, I'm in this bracket, will reach for something sugary or reach for some chocolate to try and pick our mood up. And that ends up spilling over your calories and you end up eating way more. So even though a calorie deficit is the pyramid of prioritization, it's the very, very bottom and probably the most important thing that you need to get right. How you fit and the calories you eat within that deficit are also going to define how your body looks and how you feel in general. One of the things that comes back so much from my programs, if you've read any of the testimonies, is but this comes back particularly from females, is I can't believe I got to eat so much food and lose so much body fat. Variations of that exact same quote comes back over and over again. But that, again, there's lots of different ways to do it. Just my personal strategy is to create sustainable methods using a lot of food or as much food as possible so that you're not hungry, your energy levels are high, and it's sustainable long term. I don't want to work with people for 6 weeks, get them in amazing shape, and then you fucking rebound back worse than when you started. That would defeat the entire purpose, where I try and set it up over the 6 week period. And then for those that move on to the phase two, they're working on maintenance and working on their next specific goal that they're trying to achieve and target. Again, you don't necessarily have to come through my program. You may have a coach in your gym or another online trainer that you really connect with. By all means, if you connect with their message, go through that. There's lots of different ways to get in shape, and there's lots of different diets that work. There's lots of different nutritional protocols that you can apply, but just make sure that it's keeping you in a calorie deficit and then find the one that works best for you. If you like the sound of keeping your energy levels high, eating a lot of food and still losing body fat, then definitely consider my program or a trainer or a coach that has a similar training philosophy. If you're looking for something else in terms of a quick fix, then I'm definitely not the best person, and you're probably going to be better suited going to somebody or going to a company that will sell you the quick fix. Just be aware and armed with the knowledge that you'll probably rebound worse off the other side. But again, it's a conscious choice after that. I actually have no problem with bar or shake diets at all. The problem I have is that people think it works for the long term, and then when they see the results and they're like, fuck, I lost 2 stone, and then they put back on 3 stone 6 months later, I'm like, that's the rebound. It's the before, after, and then the worst, the after, which is normally worse than the before. And that's my only issue with that. I'm like, if you know that that's what's going to happen going into it, by all means, make a conscious choice. You know, have your 500 calories and get yourself in shape and lose the weight if you want, and then be aware that you're going to rebound back out worse the other side. But again, it's all about information. If you know that's going to happen, I have no problem with it. But just make sure that you're armed with the knowledge before you do it. After that, then, it's going to be your training, which, my philosophy on training, again, for body composition is very different depending on your goal. So I intentionally don't work with that many powerlifters or strong men or strong women, just because that's not the primary goal in my programs. Definitely not in this program. This one's all about composition, building lean muscle, getting bigger if that's your goal, or losing body fat and toning up and getting leaner. And the training to that is in alignment with it. one of the reasons I struggle so much on social media platforms to give nutrition advice or to give training advice is because in an isolation, it's very, very difficult to do one over the other. Where when you do them in combination with one another, it's a lot easier to decide what kind of nutritional protocol you can should follow based on what kind of training program you're on. So for example, there's different variations in the BKF online program. There's the beginner program. There's also a home workout version that's for just for people that can train at home and can't get to a gym. But the gym program, there's a beginner, an intermediate, and an advanced. And it's based on body composition. So compound lifts, different training systems and tempos, and then different variations of circuits and giant sets in the intermediate and advanced programs, different variations of drop sets and rest pause techniques in some of the programs to allow your body to tear as many fibers as you can during the workout so that that muscle either grows back bigger and stronger or that muscle tightens and grow and keeps your metabolism elevated so you burn more calories while you rest. And then the cardio element is very much a high intensity interval training approach, so a HIIT approach where you're following say a 30-30 sprint or a circuit at the end of a workout. I generally, none of the workouts run more than 55 minutes. It's get in, get out, time your rest periods, and a quality over quantity. You should be in and out of the gym in an hour if you're on this program, and that's kind of my philosophy and always has been my philosophy when body composition is the goal, because it's about the quality of the workout. But again, make sure whatever you do over the summer that your training program is in alignment with your nutrition. The reason that I can cycle carbohydrates, so I cycle carbohydrates for a lot of people in that nutritional plan, or a flexible dieting approach for certain people, or a calorie cycling approach where the calories go up and down based on what you're training that day. The reason I do that is because it fuels the workouts. So carbohydrates and calories can be higher on a leg day or the day before leg day because the leg workout is so intense. They can be significantly lower on a rest day or on a cardio and abs day because the workouts aren't as intense. So the nutritional plan works in conjunction with the training program. But when you're training over the summer period, just make sure whatever your end goal is that you're reverse engineering the training program to fit that. General tips and techniques, some of you will know this from the fitness mindset or from listening to this podcast for a period of time, is weight training. Like, always have some form of resistance training or weight training where you're tearing fibers down in the muscle, which is elevating your metabolism so you burn more calories while you rest. And that's kind of the secret for, provided that you're not eating too much food and too many calories, that's kind of the secret for body compositional change, is creating resistance on a muscle. So you can create resistance lots of different ways. You can do it with your body weight, you can do it with a TRX, you can do it with kettlebells, you can do it with weights. It's all resistance. You're creating resistance on the muscle. And then I like to combine that with high intensity interval training because it elevates your heart rate. Also, high intensity interval training has been proven to preserve more muscle because you're not spending, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes doing long state, steady state cardio. However, there's also a place for that. On one of the days where I've got a cardio and abs option, there's low intensity steady state cardio off the back of a high intensity workout. That principle is very much around the idea that of glycogen depletion and tapping into fat stores by getting your heart rate to 70% or above, which is your fat burning zone. And if you do some form of high intensity before that low intensity workout, you're going to hit those fat stores potentially quicker. So there's a lot of different ways to train, but as long as you know what your end goal is, you're trying to get stronger, you're trying to get leaner, you're trying to get bigger, you're trying to build more muscle. As long as you know what that end goal is, just make sure that your training program reflects that, and then your nutritional plan will feed into it, because they'll feed into one and the other. Because of my program, and I tend to gravitate more towards people who are of the quality over quantity workout, I don't have any workout in their program that's more than an hour. And at some stages, if I added in a finisher, it may speed it up and may increase it and make it a little bit longer. But to spend 2 hours in the gym when you're not powerlifting or doing strongman training or strongwoman training is nearly a waste of time in most cases, because you don't need 5 minutes between sets. You need 45, 60, 90 seconds between sets to optimize your entire workout and keep the intensity level high, keep your heart rate increased, or keep an extended amount of resistance created on the muscle by lifting a weight for, you know, time under tension parameters, where you're actually sculpting your body as opposed to just trying to get stronger by doing a deadlift, one rep for a deadlift, and then resting 5-6 minutes, which is perfect if you're powerlifting and that's your goal. But if body composition is your goal, you want to change that. So that's your training. The other one then is kind of sleep and supplements and mindset. They kind of overlap a little bit. Supplements, I'm not going to touch too much on here because the supplements you would take would be very much based around your particular goal. So I have different supplement lists. So I've got a muscle building supplement list, which consists of things like creatine, beta-alanine, whey protein, branched-chain amino acids for some people. I've got a sleep list, which is a... If you're provided that you've done everything you can to get your sleep in order in terms of blocking out blue light at nighttime, creating a nighttime routine, going to bed at the same time, etc., there's certain supplements like GABA. CBD oil is very, very helpful, but I actually haven't built that into the program just because it works better for some people, and I'll specify which people it works the best for. Generally, the people who have put all those protocols in place around a nighttime routine blocking out blue light, it's the best sleep supplement I've used in years, but it's not a foundation in that program just yet. Then there's fat loss supplements that I quite like, the ones that don't leave you rebounding out the other side, like over the counter fat burners, things like green tea extract, L-carnitine tartrate, caffeine to an extent, and then I've got health supplements in there as well, so the ones that you may be missing in your overall health parameter. So people in Ireland and England, I normally add in some vitamin D just because we don't get as much sun as other people. Vitamin B12, particularly if I'm working with any vegans or if they're in the vegan program, vitamin B12, because you're not going to get it from your meat and eggs if you're vegan. So there's different supplements in there. And again, supplements are nearly impossible to recommend without knowing what someone's nutritional plan is. There's best practices and there's ones that I like, but without knowing exactly what you're eating, it's hard to give you 100% of a recommendation on what supplement's going to be best for you. I can give a 80, 90% recommendation that if you're trying to build muscle, then you should consider creatine. If you're trying to lose body fat, then you should consider caffeine. If you're trying to improve your sleep, then you should consider, you know, GABA or CBD oil. And they're ones that I can give a general recommendation on. But with the beauty of this program and the beauty of working with me or the beauty of working with any coach is they know exactly where they're trying to fill in the gaps. So if you're following, you know, the vegan version of the BKF online program, I know I need to put in vitamin B12 into that program because you're not going to be getting it. Just if you don't eat meat and you don't eat fish or you don't eat eggs, it's very unlikely that your vitamin B12 is going to be high enough to warrant not supplementing with it. So that's everything on the nutrition, training, supplements, and sleep, really. And then the mindset, which I talked about at the very beginning, is just making sure that you're going into it with a sustainable attitude. My general rule and philosophy is if it sounds too good to be true, it generally is. And if somebody's like, you can lose 2 stone in 2 weeks, that generally sounds too good to be true. I'm like, no, you're probably not going to, or you're not going to build, you know, 10 kilos of muscle in 4 weeks. It's what can you do that's sustainable, that is putting the habits in place and putting the right system, training program, nutritional plan, supplements, and sleep protocol in place now that helps you get into amazing shape for the summer, that factors in the things you may be doing like events and festivals and weddings that you're going to, but doesn't mean that you go balls to the wall, eat no calories, and then binge for a week, and then you're doing this cycle or rebound roller coaster where you're going up and down with your weight or your body composition. It's what's sustainable and trying to get something that fits into your lifestyle and schedule that you can sustain long term. And then if you have an event or you have a wedding or a festival or you want to go out on Saturday nights, then you design your program around that. That's what I do with people in the group. I design it around it and go, okay, you plan to go out every single Saturday night. This is probably what you need to do on Saturdays, and this is what you need to do on Sundays, and you're back on track on Mondays. And you're building that sustainability in. Like, that's the key to long-term success in fitness. So that's really everything on today's episode. It's a bit of a bonus one. I went way longer than I thought this would be. So I hope you got benefit from it. Regardless, anyone that wants to work with me, as I said, the BKF online program, just send me an email or I'll put the link in the description here. You can scroll right through and sign up for the program and work with me from the 6th of May over a 6-week period, and then follow on into phase 2 for those of you who are ready for that at the end of the 6 weeks. But regardless of whether you do that or not, hopefully this episode helps. Some summer body fitness tips, some nutrition tips, training tips that will hopefully help you get into great shape for summer. So I hope that helped, and I'll catch you all real soon.